Welcome to Ad Exchanger Talks, the podcast devoted to examining the issues and trends in advertising and marketing technology that matter most to you.
Today's sponsor, Adelphic, is a people-based demand-side platform built to enable brands to target consumers in a world without cookies. Later in this episode, I speak with John Schulz, Chief Marketing Officer for Viant, which owns Adelphic, about how the company is helping marketers manage reach and frequency across all devices and channels while offering the transparency needed to fully understand media investments and return on ad spend. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Zach Rogers. I'm the executive editor of Ad Exchanger. My guest today is Lauren Fisher. Lauren is the VP of Business Intelligence at Advertiser Perceptions. Before that, she was at eMarketer. She was there almost a decade, covering topics like programmatic advertising, measurement, privacy, customer experience, and identity. She moved over to Advertiser Perceptions earlier this year to focus on developing research and studies around some of the same topics. She's always been a big draw as a speaker at our conferences, and I'm particularly excited to have her on the podcast this week because she's recently completed research on identity resolution, the topic in this industry. And that was sort of jointly conducted in part with data gathered by surveying the Ad Exchanger audience. And I will say that if you want more after listening to this episode, there is an executive summary of the study that's actually quite extensive, and it's available free to our members. If you're interested in becoming a member and getting access to that report, you can visit adexchanger.com and check out our member benefits. So with that, I'll just say, welcome, Lauren.
Thanks, Zach. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. This is your second time on the Ad Exchanger Talks podcast. The well has run dry, so now I'm going back to my greatest hits.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, it's great to be back. I'm sad that we're not together like we were last time, but nonetheless, I'm excited for our conversation today.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could see each other. Maybe we'll do it in person one again someday.
Someday.
So before we get into this, the research you've been doing, talk to me a little bit about your move to Advertiser Perceptions. That happened, as I recall, around the time that the coronavirus story was developing. Am I remembering that right?
That, yes, I moved over in mid-February, probably about 3 weeks before COVID sent all of us to our homes to work for the indefinite. It's been great. It's been really exciting. I think in general, it's an exciting time to be in the industry and doing research. And, you know, one of the things I've always loved about covering the space is how rapidly things move. And you're never covering the same things for very long in the same way. And I think COVID is just one of those topics that, you know, has changed a lot and has required a lot of fast insights, fast analysis. And so it's been really great to be over here in this type of role.
Has has COVID changed the nature of your role or what you are doing there? I mean, every company's been impacted by it, but I'm just curious if what you were hired to do is a little different from what you've ended up working on because of COVID.
No, I think in many ways it's been exactly the same type of role that it would have been otherwise. I was really brought over, as you said, as a VP of business intelligence. And the role is largely focused on working with clients in our industry to help understand their research needs and really bring those to life. So whether it's about understanding questions that they have about how advertisers feel about the industry or their specific brand or a specific topic, you know, that's what I've been working on. With regard to COVID, it's just the topic has been much more COVID-centric, right? But the objective doesn't change. It's really just helping them understand how the market's changing, what that means for their company, and then also really putting this in the broader context of the industry.
Gotcha. So, and before we get into identity stuff, give me a minute on Advertiser Perceptions. I think most of our listeners are aware of Advertiser Perceptions, but it might be nice to hear from you, just a short overview of where AP fits in the the ecosystem of research providers?
Sure. So we are a research firm. We do first party research for clients, and it is focused on, as our name implies, understanding advertisers, sometimes publishers, perceptions or feedback on industry specific topics. We focus on both, you know, the entirety of the digital, of the advertising and marketing space that includes traditional and digital. And we also produce our own syndicated research. We probably publish over 24 reports a year. And as you mentioned, one of the topics that we have looked at is identity. We have many other reports that we look at. You know, really the intention of this research is to laser in on how the landscape's changing or isn't changing, and to help our clients get greater clarity. You know, we look at everything from identity to measurement, the state of customer data platforms, connected TV, video ad convergence, even trust in advertising. So if it's an important topic, we probably cover it.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I think I first became familiar with your research through some of the stuff you were doing, this before your time over there, but around the duopoly and, you know, large platforms, you know, and their disproportionate influence in this industry, and then how advertisers felt about it, that word perceptions, and where they plan to spend money and how much of it would be controlled by the duopoly, which was an absolute obsession, you know, going back 2 to 4 years. That was a huge concern. It continues to be a major concern. I guess everyone's just kind of used to that by now, to their influence, and just the enormous business that they win. Then later, advertiser perceptions got into sort of more ad tech stuff. That's how I think about it. Like, looking at specific types of technology, all of the three letter acronyms in the industry, you know, DSP, DMP, CDP, and sort of exploring how brands intend to spend money through these platforms, and, where they're already invested, where they're planning to invest, and things like that. So I think of it as a lot of self-reported data coming directly from advertisers. Do I have that right?
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And that a lot of the programmatic and ad tech and martech is important coverage. Like I said, you know, it's one of the many pieces that we cover. One of our biggest reports is actually on advertiser, we call it our advertiser intelligence report. And that's really designed to look at dozens upon dozens upon dozens of brands that and media companies that advertisers rely on across the landscape. And we're looking at their perceptions of those companies, whether they're planning to use them, if they're, you know, considering them in the future or considering them a must-buy. And so it is really a broad portfolio of research, which, like you, you know, I had come to advertiser perceptions from more of the programmatic side, but it's been really fascinating to see sort of how in depth and really across industry the research is.
Interesting. Now, one thing about e-marketers using a lot of data sources, most of them external and verifiable, whereas, you know, I think advertisers reporting on their own behaviors is highly valuable and a huge differentiator for advertiser perceptions. But it's also, there's also this question about self-reported data. And I've always thought that, I mean, I love the research you guys put out, but I've always wondered when I see the results, I'm like, we're just trusting people to be honest about what they're doing or what they're planning to do. And there's always a certain margin of error with that. I mean, I think, hey, look at the election that just happened. There was the whole shy Trump voter. And there's a lot of kind of interesting research about the fallibility of self-reported data and in individual human beings. Some people just lie about themselves, whether that be their drinking, you know, frequency to their doctor, or, you know, a researcher who wants to know who they're voting for. Could you talk about, is that an issue with advertiser perceptions? And is that something you have to factor in?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, one of the benefits is we do have a community of advertising professionals. These are people who have raised their hand that we've vetted, who are interested in providing their feedback, their insights. And so I think that does really help cut through some of those problems that you were mentioning with regard to people not being truthful. You know, these are people who really do want to help and want to provide their expertise. And we know that they are the right people to do that. And I'd say the other thing, Zach, is, you know, this is why it's so important to look at some of this research in a broader context and to really take information that we have and have that sort of broader industry experience to be able to say, okay, you know, this looks a little different than what we've seen in the past. Based on what we know, you know, maybe this is a new trend that's emerging, but maybe this is something that over time we'll see sort of smooth out. And a lot of these studies, particularly our syndicated research, we're doing twice a year. And so we have that longitudinal data to go back to and to really see over time if these trends do net out or if, you know, some of these things that we're seeing are a blip on the radar.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Okay, one more question on methodology and quality of data, if you don't mind. I was thinking about how some brands, they get fed a line by their vendors, and sometimes I think we're in a bit of a Tower of Babel in this industry. We think we're talking about the same thing, not always talking about the same thing. Like for instance, back when a bunch of ad networks decided to start calling themselves DSPs, and this is going back a number of years, but you know, suddenly brands who were sourcing media through ad networks were told, no, we're a DSP now, or they would start to work with a company that said it was a DSP, that's actually an ad network. And again, I don't want to go too much down the rabbit hole. It's just that when there's a hot new category, a lot of vendors say, oh, that's what we are, you know, and we're going through that right now with CDP, with a lot of companies that aren't necessarily CDPs in their bones. They might be tag management services, or they might be email marketing services or other kinds of data-driven vendors, nothing wrong with it. But because CDP is so hot, the valuations are so high, and every marketer wants one, some of them are starting to spin themselves as CDPs. So anyway, long question, sorry. But I'm just curious, like, when you ask brands, okay, are you going to spend more with a CDP? Is there any issue in making sure that they understand what the technology that you're asking them about is, does, to set definitions? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. No, we definitely offer definitions. We make it very clear when we're surveying people, this is the topic we're talking about. This is how we're defining the topic. We're asking you to think about it. But to your point, you know, some of these areas that are new and emerging, there is still a lot of confusion. And I think that's the fun and fascinating thing about my job, is looking at some of the information and perceptions that advertisers have about these tools and technology, and recognizing the fact that a marketer, for example, may, you know, believe they're working with a CDP, but they're really working with a company that offers CDP-like functionality. And I think one could argue, you know, in the end, does that matter? If the advertiser, if the marketer is accomplishing what they need to or what they want to, does it matter what we call it? Mm-hmm. And so that for me has always been the interesting thing in general to look at in our space. We have a lot of people who try to be a lot of things, who start as one particular type of technology and bolt on all of these different functionalities because that's what the market wants. But, you know, sometimes it's less about putting somebody into a name and more about just understanding, you know, can somebody actually accomplish the objective that they're aiming to through using a specific provider.
Okay, got you. Terrific. Well, that leads into a very nice transition into identity resolution. Because I think a good first question here would be defining this area. Do you have an easy definition at hand that we could sort of start with?
Sure. So when we were asking about identity resolution solutions, we were talking about these as a software or technology that combines consumer identifiers into a single persistent identity graph. And that can be used holistically to identify consumers across various channels, devices, and online to offline domains. I can't tell you it's a simple definition, right? There's a lot packed in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the reality is this type of function, identity resolution, is very broad and can encompass a lot of different tactics and ways of bringing data together. So we wanted to make sure that we were describing something that, you know, singularly makes sense in terms of having that identity graph that can be used holistically in multiple fashions across channels, devices, domains, but also is broad enough that we're not just looking at pure play service providers, but also encompassing, you know, some of the big platforms that would have identity capabilities that we definitely wanted to understand more about.
Okay, super. And just a second on methodology. So can you share how many different folks contributed to your research?
Sure. So we interviewed more than 300 advertisers, marketers, agencies, pretty much anyone who had some sort of decision-making or approval in identity resolution solutions or budgets or strategies. This also did include some IT tech business intelligence folks who have those types of decision-making capabilities. And Zach, this research was conducted in the US. So we're looking just at the responses for US agencies and marketers.
Okay, got
and
it.
Advertisers.
Super, okay, great. So now we're gonna dig into what you learned. But first, an important message from a sponsor. I'll be right back with Lauren Fisher from Advertiser Perceptions. Hi, I'm speaking with John Schulz. John is the Chief Marketing Officer for Viant, which owns Adelphic, our sponsor for the month. John, welcome. And so one of the biggest issues on the horizon is the elimination of third-party cookies. How is Adelphic prepared for that?
Well, Zach, thanks for having me, first of all. As a people-based DSP, Adelphic has embedded identity resolution capabilities to not only onboard customer lists, but to also host, hash, and match on an array of individual and household identifiers, not just email address, all in a privacy compliant manner.
Okay, and what do people-based DSPs do differently from other DSPs on the market?
Yeah, great question. A people-based DSP like Adelphic provides a deterministic match of individuals, households, and devices. Along with our 60 plus strategic data partners, we create a comprehensive view of the target audience, which allows for reach and frequency management across all advertising channels, and this includes television.
Now, you were recently awarded a householding patent. Can you tell us what that covers?
Yeah, Zach, we continue to lead and innovate with proprietary technology and patented processes, including our most recent patent for internet-connected household identification. With many devices and browsers limiting user signals, along with the rise of connected TV advertising, household identification is becoming even more important to in the digital ecosystem, something we anticipated years ago when we filed for this patent. Our householding patent enables us to associate which devices belong to which households for the purpose of online measurement and dynamic content delivery. Really, in the end, it's all about delivering measurable impact for our advertisers.
Great. Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and I'm back with Lauren. Let's start off with a basic question. How widely adopted are identity resolution solutions at this time?
Sure. So when we're looking at identity resolution solutions in the way that we've described, the vast majority of advertisers and agencies are taking advantage of these types of services today. Our research found 4 out of 5 are using some type of identity resolution service today.
Okay. And that other one out of five, what are they doing?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Do you think they're using them? They just don't know.
It's quite possible. Yeah. When you consider the fact that, you know, a lot of these solutions are coming as a bolt-on or an offering from many of the major advertising platforms that people work with today, chances are they're using it. They're just not calling it that.
Yeah, if they're doing some form of digital advertising, they're probably using one. So actually, short answer, everyone's using them.
Yeah.
A better answer might just be, what's the average number, I guess, or what's the number of identity solutions that your respondents are saying that they're using?
Yeah, so we found that people are averaging a little more than 4 identity resolution services. And if you look at agencies, we found 26% of agencies were using five or more.
Okay. Got you. Which makes sense. The agencies, so 26% were using five or more. So 75% or 74% are using four or less. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So there's a segment of a quarter of agencies are more active users.
Yes.
I'm kind of surprised it's not a bigger number. Usually the agencies that they need to go out, they experiment with these different things. But maybe it speaks to the agencies aren't really as involved in identity as they, you know, relative to their clients.
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of agency too, right? If you are a little bit more specialized, you're using just the identity resolution services that you need to work in your specific channels or with your specific media. I would imagine if you look across all the agencies that brands use and then the brands individually using their own identity resolution services, you know, it really starts to add up.
Okay, gotcha. Silly question. Why use multiple ID resolution services?
Sure. No, it's not a silly question. The reality is there is no one way to look at identity, right? And I think that's something we've been talking about in the industry for a really long time, but that's the reality. And because of that reality, you have to find different ways to identify your audiences and pull them together. So that's really where advertisers are today. They are using these identity resolution services to meet multiple objectives, perform multiple functions. You know, put another way, people are using identity graphs to target specific individuals on specific platforms. They're using identity resolution to bring together their online and offline data so that they can measure, right? And so when you start to think about all the different functions that you need to perform across the digital and physical advertising worlds, and you couple that with the fact that there's no one way to identify individuals, it's very clear that you need multiple methodologies and ways of doing this to get that bigger picture.
Okay. So there may be ID solutions that are just purpose built for certain use cases, and you have may have multiple cars because you have the commuter vehicle or the, you know, the pickup or whatever. So it's justifiable to have a bunch in hand.
Yeah. And even think about all the different channels and media that advertisers are using. You know, we have different ways we think about identity in the television space versus how we think about it on mobile versus how we think about it, you know, on Facebook. And so that really necessitates using multiple identity services to figure out who you're trying to reach and then tie that back to some form of measurement.
Okay, got you. So how many different identity resolution kind of solutions did you focus on here for this research?
So this was the interesting thing as we were pulling this report together. It's sort of a complex landscape for the very reasons we were just talking about, right? Mm-hmm. There's no single person who provides a full end-to-end experience for identity across every single piece of the ecosystem that you would want to look at. So then you start thinking about where advertisers are taking advantage of these identity solutions today. And we started to really see some buckets that emerged for providers who would be offering identity resolution. You know, you have your sort of pure play specialists who focus largely on identity. You have some of your data enrichment providers, you know, your Experience, your Axioms, who have a lot of data that have been used to better bring together identity in certain ways over the past several years. And then you have the identity capabilities of your marketing clouds that many advertisers and marketers rely heavily on today. You also have the identity resolution capabilities that advertisers are taking advantage of across the major ad tech players and the platforms, right? Your Amazon, your Google, your Facebook. So, you know, all of that really required us to think through these different pockets where you're finding identity, and then choose some of the companies to really start the process of asking advertisers, who are you using? who are you considering? You know, how are you rating these companies against specific criteria? And so for us, this is very much the first iteration of this, you know, ask. We acknowledge, as we do with every study when we're starting from scratch, that, you know, certainly there are probably some players that we may need to put in to the next round. There's some we need to take out, but across the board, you know, we're hopeful, and we do see that this really does give us a good picture of where the landscape is today.
Okay, terrific. So who are the, you have a Big Ten here. Can we share who they are? I think few will be surprised.
Sure. For use, correct? For who advertisers are using today?
That's right. Yes. The top 10 identity resolution services. Yeah.
Yeah. So the top 10 include the triopoly, Google, Facebook, and Amazon. It includes three of the major marketing clouds, Salesforce, Adobe, and Oracle. LiveRamp, as you would expect, is in the top 10. The Trade Desk and Verizon Media are in the top 10, and then Experian as well. And Zach, one of the things that became very clear when we were working on this report and asking our advertisers, you know, where are you accessing these types of solutions? The vast majority, over 70%, are using identity resolution from major ad tech partners, and over half were using identity resolution services from the marketing cloud. So it's not surprising in that regard to see sort of the big ad tech players and the marketing clouds in that top 10.
Right. And what really strikes me, look, since the listeners can't see this chart, you ran through them, and, you know, eight of them are the most obvious, the companies you would guess.
Right.
But they almost happen in the order you would guess them. 1, 2, and 3 are Google, Facebook, and Amazon.
Yeah.
4, 5, and 6 are the marketing clouds, Salesforce, Adobe, and Oracle. And then 7 is LiveRamp, and 8 is the Trade Desk. Mm-hmm. And then you have Experian and Verizon Media. So it's really striking. These are the biggest companies. And then the two that are trailing the sales, the marketing clouds, LiveRamp and the Trade Desk, those are the open ecosystem independent ad tech options, which obviously continues to be very important to your customers.
Yes.
Whereas the first three, Google, Facebook, and Amazon, are just the largest sellers of media. And I'm guessing if you're an ad buyer and you want to reach those audiences, you're going to be using those companies' identity resolution services.
Exactly, right. You know, most people going to Google and Facebook and Amazon are taking advantage of their audiences. And so inevitably, they are using some of their identity capabilities.
Great. So if we go back to that 4.1 identity resolution services that these your respondents were using on average, three of them were Google, Facebook, and Amazon, I'm guessing, or at least two of them were Google and Facebook. And if they're a CPG or selling any kind of product, manufacturer, then a third one is Amazon. And then a fourth one is their marketing cloud of choice, I'm guessing, by the way. Tell me if you think my spin is off here. And the fourth or fifth one is you know, one of these independent options to reach audiences outside of the walled gardens. What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of people are using a marketing cloud powered solution. I think a lot of people are taking advantage of multiple major platform and ad tech solutions. I also think a lot of people are using some of the more specialist players. So, you know, truthfully, Zach, I think the reality is that number is probably much higher than four. It's just not everyone's thought about it in this way as they're answering that question.
Okay, got you. Great. So let's talk about the future. How do people feel about where identity resolution is going?
Well, I think there's a lot of uncertainty, and I don't think you would disagree with that. You know, the reality is it's getting harder. It's getting harder with some of the decisions to phase out third-party cookies, with Apple's IDFA. It's getting harder given privacy and regulation. And so I think for advertisers, there's a lot of uncertainty about what the future is going to hold.
Okay. And what about their qualitative feelings about it? Like, are they optimistic Are they, do they feel that, generally speaking, identity is going to become a worse prospect?
Do you have a sense of that? It kind of depends how you look at it. So one of the questions we asked in the study was, it was an agreement statement. So we asked, how much do you agree with the statement that the industry will work together to create a universal identifier that can replace third-party cookies? Mm-hmm. And we had about 70% who did agree with that statement. And I think that really speaks to the optimism that's out there. You know, if advertisers had the choice, they would love for the industry to come together and solve this problem so that they don't have to. Mm-hmm. In our latest DSP report, we asked a similar question: who do you think is responsible for solving the future of identity? And 85% said the ad tech players. So, you know, they, now granted, they also took responsibility for that as well, but not mm-hmm. to the extent that we saw them expecting the industry, specifically the tech providers, to come together to figure this out.
Interesting. I like the phrasing of that question is great, by the way. And also, I think it's revealing the responses to that phrasing. So you say, this is the statement you're asking people to agree or disagree with: the industry will work together to create a universal identifier that can replace third-party cookies. There's actually two, there's an A and a B part to that statement. A is work together to create an identifier. B is replace the third-party cookies. So in other words, will the industry work together? A, and B, will they succeed? Right. And you have 49% of respondents saying they somewhat agree. So which part of the statement do they agree with is the question. I think people do, you know, my own subjective point of view on this is there's more optimism right now about the ability to collaborate on a common challenge. And then success, well, I think time will tell. You'd be foolish to go out on a limb and claim we're going to replace the functionality of the third-party cookie in full, since I think there's just a lot we still don't know.
But I mean, listen, the industry's always been very good at problem solving. Sometimes we wait until the last minute, but we always find a way, right? I don't know that it'll look exactly how everyone wants it to, but we've been very good at pivoting. So, you know, is it going to be a universal identifier? Probably not. Will people be relying on multiple? That's likely. But will there be a way for advertisers to understand who their audiences are? I do think so, you know?
I'd like to call out one slide you have in your presentation around this idea of a proprietary identity resolution solution that the brand or the buyer, the agency buyer, would own. Mm-hmm. That they would develop and not rely on sort of outside partners for this because it's so mission critical. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So one of the things we did ask is if people were using a proprietary solution. So that would be something that they built in-house. And, you know, again, we're polling advertisers and agencies. So they did have the ability to say they were either using their own brand developed or one that was part of an agency. We did see a good portion using those types of proprietary solutions. I'm just gonna see if I can pull up that number if I have it here. Company or client developed 40% and then an agency developed solution a third. We then did ask that question, what are your plans for the future? Are you, you know, for those of you who aren't currently using one of these today, do you plan to do this moving forward? And we had 42% of agencies who said yes, 19% of marketers who said yes, I do plan to move forward with that. I think, listen, there is a lot of conversation about advertisers owning their first party data and really being able to take advantage of that in the future. That's a big motivator for building a lot of these proprietary graphs. I think we also need to acknowledge that even if they have the ability to develop something internally that they're relying on, keep in mind, they're still gonna use other identity graphs. You know, you're still gonna take those insights and probably use them to find lookalike audiences somewhere else. Or, you know, if you have to use, if you're looking to advertise on a specific platform, you're going to still take advantage of those rich audience insights that a company like Google or Facebook or, you know, even Hulu has that you don't.
Yeah. All right. Now, I guess my last question would just be around where you go next with this IDR research. When you look at the results and the data that you've gathered, where do you still have questions, and what do you think are going to be the richest areas to explore for any second and third wave of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, my questions are still the questions a lot of people have, which is, okay, you know, we're building toward an increasingly cookieless future. We say we're going to use more first party data. We know that advertisers are going to want to rely more on second party data from either advertising partners or agencies or the publishers. You know, how do we operationalize that? What does that actually look like in practice? I think sometimes that's a hard thing to get through research, but, you know, I just want to continue to really understand how some of these perceptions and also desires that advertisers have for moving forward in a cookieless future actually end up coming to be. So I think, you know, for us, it's going to continue to be questions about, you know, what specifically are you doing to prepare? What specifically do you need to see from the industry in order to better prepare? And also looking at the drivers of consideration for some of these tools, continuing to identify what are the most important criteria or capabilities of an identity resolution service that matter to advertisers. You know, those are the areas that I'm really interested in.
All right, wonderful. Well, listen, Lauren, thanks so much for taking the time.
It was great to be here. Thanks for chatting with me, Zach.
Really good to have you. Everybody, if you like what you hear, you want to hear more, reach out to Lauren. And thank you for listening to another episode of this podcast. We'll see you next time. With a customer service satisfaction rating at 95% 3 years running, Adelphic is the demand-side platform for a cookieless world. To find out more, visit adelphic.com.